This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I want to talk about jerseys, but I got a couple of other notes for you real quick. So 877-881-1053. Are jersey designs better or worse than they used to be? But a couple of different baseball notes for you.
Tell me.
Did you see that Bryce Harper is going to have surgery?
Yeah, they said they're still very hopeful that he'll play at some point later in the year.
And then this could be setting the stage. But did you see that Major League Baseball has said there will be no relocation fee if Oakland moves the team to Las Vegas? So they're just like,
go, please.
Yes.
Come on. 20 years later. I just can't believe it. I just can't believe that we are in 2022 and 20 years ago should have been the last year they played in Oakland.
Like, there seriously is like 14 people at some of those games. Like, I know they're like, oh, we had 3,000.
But what happens to the Aviators?
I don't know what to tell you. All right. Now.
They go to Oakland.
That's fine. That might be better. That might be a better fit. Is you brought this up the other day and we talked about it. Now, was this solely inspired by the 72 throwback Rangers jerseys, which look outstanding? Or are there other things that you base this question off of?
That's what got my mind thinking in this. My son loves those jerseys. I have not heard one person go, man, I hate when the Rangers go back to their original jerseys.
Yeah.
And the original hat. And is it just because we're nostalgic? Or did they make jerseys better looking or more memorable? But I don't know. I just don't know what makes me, when I see Luka in the green Dallas jersey from the 80s that I grew up with Rolando Blackman and Harper and Aguirre, I just think, those are the best Maverick jerseys, and the new Navy ones that say Dallas across it or Mavs don't come close. And so is it just because that's when I grew up, or are those jerseys technically to our eyes, are they better looking?
I have complicated feelings about this.
Really?
Yeah, because when you first brought this up, I started to think my favorite Rangers jersey was when they switched it over with the new ballpark and went to red. And I thought those were the killer jerseys. But to your point, then I started to think, or is that because that was about the time I was really, really getting into sports? Like, obviously, the Cowboys were kicking some ass. The Rangers opened their new ballpark. I got to go to the Home Run Derby at the new ballpark. And, like, were the red jerseys really that great, or were they just different? And this is when I was coming into sports. So I understand your point about that 72 Rangers jersey is awesome. I thought those green Mavs jerseys were the best. Or is that just because, like, I just have that nostalgic trip? I don't know.
Mike, I think when it comes to the Mavs in particular, your thought would hold true, because I think that the Mavs have done a poor job of, like, upkeeping their aesthetic altogether. I think that, for one, everything that they've done in recent times all still harkens back to like 2002. It all feels very much like 2002, and they haven't like updated their brand identity. So when it comes down to it, I do think that those green jerseys are the best jerseys that the Mavs have made, but that's kind of because there's a low bar all the way around.
Yeah, the script of how it says Dallas on there, and I know that as far as I can remember, they've never gone back to the 1980s home white jersey.
Yeah.
As in, I can't remember Dirk ever wearing that jersey. I can remember him wearing the green road Dallas jersey from the 80s. But my son thinks they're better. And I don't know. Our jerseys nowadays, and I know we're taking more of our local teams. I do like that the Rangers went away from the basic, and I just couldn't believe they did this for so long. Texas.
Yeah.
Across every jersey. It was like there was no such thing as Rangers. We were just Texas in the same script on every jersey, whether it was white, gray, blue, or red. It was the exact same jersey, just in four different colors. And I was like, this is boring. Are we trying to sell jerseys rather than, hey, we can sell jerseys because people buy jerseys all the time? Back when we were kids, you couldn't buy jerseys. It wasn't like in the 80s we could go get an Aguirre jersey or a Ruben Sierra jersey. It was rare to find how to get a jersey in the 80s. I believe in the 90s it started trending towards, hey, we're going to make jerseys for people to actually wear and buy of their favorite players. But I don't know. I'd like some help here from the Tolos on, well, are we doing a bad job of making new jerseys that we like? Or is it just that we like the nostalgic of going back to when we were a kid or the original jersey of a team?
As you might have been able to guess, Mike, people have lots of thoughts about this. Lots of thoughts. All right. From the 469, I hate the old Rangers powder blue and the 469.
Wow.
Hold on to that thought. From another 469. Those Rangers green jerseys are terrible. So
the Rangers green?
Or excuse me, those Mavericks green jerseys.
Okay, that game.
Fair enough. The Mavericks old green jerseys are terrible. Oh. So right there, that's two that I'm against the old style. However, then that is counterbalanced immediately from the 214. The original jerseys are way better for like 90% of sports franchises. And from the 806, teams try too hard right now. Sometimes simple is better. Which is why I like the Longhorns and the Cowboys, how they keep it kind of back to the original.
I will say in this discussion, when we talk, and I don't watch a lot of hockey. I do think hockey sweaters.
Hottie hockey.
Yes. Are very cool looking. Like, I do like
especially
a lot
the Blackout Stars one.
Yeah. I just think there's maybe more you can do with it because it is long sleeve and just, you know, more maybe things you can do with it. Football, I've never thought too much about because literally it's a big number on the front, a big number on the back, and it's a color. Does that make sense? Like, there's not a whole bunch. I get there's certain things you can do. As right now, like the Denver Broncos are on NFL Network and they're showing Russell Wilson. You can have navy or you can have white or you can have orange.
But you can get interesting is the script, though, like what the font that you use or the type that you use when it comes to the number or some of the accents. Like we're currently looking at the Green Bay Packers where you have like the yellow accent for the shoulder there. Like I think those are the things that where it gets really interesting or just the color combinations that you get.
Yeah, I guess I like that, Reggie, in the other sports, it's going to have a logo or the city's name or the state's name or the team's name. And so you can do a lot with the script and you can kind of, you know, change it up. Like, I like that the Dodgers, as much as sometimes, like, I love that the Dodgers really don't do much. As in, we just think it's beautiful that it says Dodgers in blue, number in red. And it just, to me, it just pops and it looks great, you know, on the front. And I know on the back, it's you know, and to Reggie's point, it's the way that you make the number. It's the way that whether you want to do it kind of, I know I'm going back to football back and forth, but the way the 49ers kind of had at one point in the 90s, which I thought was kind of cool, how it kind of had that black.
Oh, the drop shadow?
I thought was cool for them, which was very different, you know, back then where I just, there's so many different style. When you go to like a little league baseball tournament, when you go to, or high school or whatever, and all these different teams, you can see a zillion different ways to make jerseys. And I feel like we're making more jerseys now because my son was asking me about this. I said, literally, when I was playing on major league teams, we had a white, a gray, and a colored jersey. That was pretty much what we had. We did not have five or six different jerseys the way that when he's playing MLB The Show or the NBA stuff, right? In the NBA, you used to have your road jersey and your home jersey. That was it. Your white and your colored jersey, and that was it. Now there's a whole bunch of different ones, but I don't find myself loving a lot of the newer jerseys that come out.
Huh. Okay. All right.
I do love that the, I know I'm different than the one Tolo out there. I do like that they came back with the powder blues.
Well, and I do see multiple people pushing back, man. I had that Buddy Bell powder blue Texas Rangers jersey. Love it. Still love the Mavericks jerseys from the Reunion Arena days. And so then just
which tee do you like better? The old Rangers tee that they wore the other day, the 72
like the block tee,
the block tee, or the tee that they went to in 1994 when they changed the themes?
I think that one.
You like probably the newer tee better,
but okay. That, and that's why I was still trying to figure out, like, is yeah. that just a response to like that's the better tee, or is it because like that's why I was like, oh man, it's a new ballpark. It's my ballpark. It's, you know, yeah. The Rangers started to get good and everything like that. I'm not sure. And then somebody threw in a whole nother thing about this is, man, I like the jerseys and everything, but holy crap, did they get expensive? Is that, that's like a whole yes. different part of this discussion that doesn't really deal with the fashion of it versus like how many people rethink their jersey selections now when I feel like, and this is not to be like too old person or whatever, but like, back in the day, you're like, this is my favorite player, so I'm going to buy that jersey. Now, if you're like, well, I like Jalen Brunson a lot, but what does the future hold with free agency? Or what does, like, is yeah. this player going to get traded? Because you have to drop a lot of cash for some of these jerseys.
Go ahead, Reggie.
Can I pull you guys into that older person place? Because it seems like, for one, you guys are going to have the side of nostalgia that will pull you a little bit further back. And then also, you guys obviously have a little bit of a question if, like, newer jerseys are better. But being the guys that you are, like mid to early 40s, correct?
Yeah.
Are there any newer jerseys that you can point to definitively and go, oh no, I like that one?
So in a weird way, I think one that is controversial to especially people that are 40 or older, but I agree with my son. I think it looks awesome. Is the Chicago White Sox South Side jersey that's black with white pinstripes because it's so different. Okay. If that makes sense. So, yes, there are some newer jerseys, Reggie, that I like. I actually do like now the Rangers white jersey that it says Rangers across it in cursive rather than Texas.
Yeah.
You know, at home it used to be, you know, it's going to say your team name. On the road it's going to say your city name or yeah. your state name type of deal. And the Rangers went away with that forever. That I do like their new white ones way better. And, gosh, newer jerseys. How about the NBA?
I would have to go back to some of those city ones because in the moment, my son would be like, oh, what about this city one? What about this city one? I feel like there's a Milwaukee one. I'm going to go double check on that, a city version that I was like, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Was it the one that said Cream City on it?
Yes.
Are you serious?
I think so.
They have one that says Brew Crew
is
now,
it not?
I believe.
Oh, yeah. I was just looking at the Brew Crew one. Man, maybe it is, but my son showed me one of those, and I was like, that's
I'll tell you
awesome.
What, I do love the Milwaukee Bucks jersey with the buck on it.
Yeah.
I think that's a very cool-looking jersey.
What, like the newest iteration with like the really menacing-looking, yes. stylized buck?
Okay, so you need it to be a more aggressive mascot that I actually, yeah, I do not hate those Cream City jerseys whatsoever. I don't know if the internet has decided that they don't care for them, but
there's jerseys I hate. Let me ask you, Kevin.
The trash bag jersey.
Well, that was for one game on opening night when we lost by 1,000 to the Lakers. Thanks a lot, Antoine Walker. You stink. Booby shaker. All right. I thought the 1980s road jersey for the Rangers was pathetic, and I couldn't understand why they stuck. It's just a gray jersey that said Texas in like just the script is just
yeah.
just here's blue Texas across a gray shirt with buttons on it.
Okay.
Like, there has to be more here than that. So I will, like, I'm not saying all the old jerseys are great. I thought the old jersey of the Rangers when I was growing up in the 80s, that like Bobby Valentine and, you know, kind of your Ruben Sierra, Nolan Ryan's jersey that he wore on the road. Pathetic. I mean, there was no personality to that jersey at all.
What's y'all's takeaway for the rainbow Astros jerseys? Because I always love those. I also hate the prison style throwback Steelers jerseys.
I don't think anybody loves those. Yeah, I'm with you on. And I wonder how much, because Mike, you used this term when you were talking about the South Side. It's right. almost like a script South Side on with the White Sox. The idea that they were different, especially from yeah. like what you see around the league. there was a uniqueness to those, like, rainbow Astros, like orange to yellow gradient thing that they had going.
I do like it in certain ways that the Astros use it, whether it's down the side of their Navy jersey now, where it's just kind of, you know what I'm talking about, yes. where they have it. I think that's cool looking. I think it's a cool jersey in small batches, like a Sunday jersey. I think that we like the powder blue a lot, unless we wore it every day as a road jersey.
He's okay. like, it's a curveball, not a fastball.
Yeah. So, or maybe it's a fastball instead of a curveball, the way Ooh. Baseball is now. But I would just say that jersey people, let's do a better job. There has to be more creative people out there that can make jerseys that I think are better. And not all jerseys are bad, and not all jerseys are good now, and same with the old times. But I just feel like when the Rangers wear that 72 jersey, we need to break that out more. We need to break out more of the 80s Mavericks than this other Maverick stuff we break out.
I feel like if you care so much about this, you should kind of take up the cause. I got a catchy name for you, too. What about Jersey Mike? I feel like that could be, like, not super popular, but, like, solidly popular.
I'll put my own juice on it.
Well,
isn't that what they say at Jersey Mike's? We got the juice.
There goes our market share. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Rangers need two starting pitchers. Are you prepared to wait a year or two? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
And here's the pitch. And there's a long drive to left field. That is hooking in the corner, and that ball is history. Mitch Garver, a two-run homer. And the Rangers lengthen their lead to 7-4.
Woohoo! And they would go on to win 10-4 right here in your home of the Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Now, our question here is, the Rangers need two starting pitchers. Are you prepared to wait a year or two? 877-881-1053. But before we get to any of that, I want to tell you, Saturday at Hop Fusion Ale Works in Fort Worth, the Brew Crew Tour rolls on. It'll be Lucius Alexander, Eric Chiafalo, and Zach Wolchuk representing that G-Bag Nation. They'll be in Fort Worth at Hop Fusion Ale from 1 to 4 p.m., and they will be also bringing 100 of those one-of-a-kind Brew Crew pint glasses. So, Fort Worth, you know the fan loves you. So, we will be out there on Saturday. Make sure to stop by, get your Brew Crew glass while we are at it. Now, back to baseball.
Yeah.
The Rangers have two holes in their rotation.
Yeah.
For sure right now. Do you think fans are patient enough to wait it out for a year or two? I'm assuming until the prospects are ready, unless you mean something different, and then we'll go from there.
Well, yeah, so here's the situation the Rangers find themselves in. Playing close to .500 baseball. Yes. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like they're going to play possibly over .500 baseball against the teams that we feel like they can.
Yeah.
They're better than. They're better than Detroit. They're better than Washington. They're better than Kansas City. And right now, the series is 1-0 Texas in this series at Kansas City. Maybe they'll play good against New York, and we won't expect them to play good against the Mets coming up. But at this point, as we're getting into July, before we know it, after this weekend is over, it'll be July 4th. At that point, I think the Rangers were hoping Cole Winn, AJ Alexi, Spencer Howard, maybe somewhat of an unknown. I know Cole Reagans is having a very good year, just got promoted to AAA. They were hoping that there would be this. And Glenn Otto, who got off to a decent start and is struggling right now, they thought all of these guys, their hope and thought, all of these guys are going to be pitching well enough at the upper levels of the minor leagues that we're going to have tough decisions to make. And if a guy has two or three bad starts in a row, we can send him down and have him work on our stuff because AJ Alexi now is pitching well in AAA. So, hey, Colwyn, if we need to send you down for a couple starts to get right, get right. Hey, Spencer Howard, he is the guy that Philadelphia was developing 2-3 years ago before everything went haywire and we got him for Kyle Gibson. But because these things aren't happening, it looks like the Rangers might have to go the rest of this season with Martin Perez pitching pretty good, John Gray pitching pretty good, Dane Dunning being a solid starter, and then two spots where they're like, we're kind of running bullpen out there and hoping for the best. Because if you want to get impatient, you're going to have to make trades. And then, gosh, I know that during crosstalk, we talked about Martin Perez.
You definitely can't move on.
If you move
him
for nobody that's ready to pitch, and you're probably not moving him for guys that are major league ready.
Yes.
Because then that team would just use the major league ready guy they have. So you're, if you do trade him, you're down to John Gray and Dane Dunning for the rest of the season.
Which is not advisable, at least not to me. Do you still think there's a chance then that like a Glenn Otto or somebody like that who we have seen could, because I've given up on, you know, obviously Allard, Howard. I have just, fair, unfair, I've just moved on from them. So what about somebody like
I feel like Colby Allard is starting to go into that 4A pitcher, unfortunately. Okay. I really like that trade. I thought he would be better. He hasn't been. It doesn't mean his career's over. It probably means more that he's going to be a middle reliever. And here's the deal. The Rangers have so many freaking left-handed relievers. Now, they're not all considered left-handed specialists.
Yep.
And I know that that's getting taken out of the game a little bit because you either have to finish the inning or face three hitters, one or the other. And so it kind of limits you on just having what you'd consider left-handed specialist. But I don't know this. Would the Rangers consider right now not pushing for a playoff spot, but going, we have one kind of too many outfield slash third base middle infield prospects? It's tough to say too many, but we've drafted Foscue. We've traded for Josh Smith. We've traded for Ezekiel Duran, who we just sent down. Leody Taveras and Bubba Thompson are premium, were premium prospects. Yeah. I'm not saying, I guess Bubba Thompson hasn't made it to the major leagues, but I wouldn't consider him a premium prospect in baseball. He's just a nice prospect that looks like he can play in the big leagues here sometime soon. You traded for Steele Walker in the trade where you're like, hey, you've seen all of these okay guys. Are there organizations that are like ours that aren't winning?
Yeah.
But they're lacking a lot of depth in their organization. Is there any way, these are always tough trades to pull off, can we trade depth for a guy that's a young starting pitching? And what I mean by that is like somebody who's, let's say, 28 to 25 years old. I'm not expecting to get a 22-year-old stud pitcher out of these prospects. But is there a way to get a guy that still has like 3 years left of time before he hits free agency where we know we have control over him to shore up our rotation now? Or do you just say, as a Ranger fan, this is where you text in and stuff, do you just say, no, you know what? We're going to struggle with the back end of our rotation the rest of this year. I don't want to clog it up possibly with adding a solid veteran pitcher who has 2 to 3 years left on a contract.
I like in that scenario, I would definitely be intrigued by that because then you would still have them also in a cheap, kind of a cheaper deal. And they're not so old. Like even if you got somebody who's 28, well, if you're like, oh, I don't think we're going to be good for 3 years. All right, well, a 31-year-old baseball player does not necessarily – that's how old Martin Perez is.
Right, like, and he should have three to four more years left of pitching in the
majors. So you're still viable. If you told me, like, a veteran, like, if we would have been chasing some of the big money names, like, I could see how that would be different. But in this instance, especially – I know it's Bleacher Report, so take that for what you will. But one of their writers had the top 10 prospects at each position, and they've got Foscue and Duran at 5 and 6 for second base. So – if you're telling me like they think that the Rangers have two of the not only top 10, but top 6 prospects at second base, which is a position that you would think would not theoretically be open for many, many years. Well, hell yeah. I'm interested in listening to that.
And I think that here's the deal too, that the Rangers have to start really making tough decisions on. And I know they've barely pitched in the major leagues or haven't. But what do we think of AJ Alexi and his 7 ERA in AAA?
Yeah.
Because they were counting on him being in the rotation sometime around this point. Well, at a 7 ERA, we can't work with this. We can't promote you with that.
Yeah.
A 1.8 whip. You're allowing almost two people on base per inning. Yeah. And a lot of them are obviously scoring with a 7 ERA. So I'm wondering if we do take, to your point, the second base situation. Where in the world is Justin Foscue ever going to play a day in the major leagues for the Texas Rangers? You name me the day that Marcus Semien isn't your second baseman.
Yeah.
Name me the day that third base at Josh Smith, Josh Young, who you have kind of going to vie for that position because you can't really move him to third base. I don't know this, but I remember asking this when they drafted a second baseman with the 14th overall pick. I like drafting shortstop center fielders because I can move them in a lot of different positions.
Is the thought just real quick as far as that, if you have the ability and the arm strength to play short, I can probably move you across the infield.
Yes, and
the
your same, coordination, right?
Okay, and then the same logic for center field. If you have the speed and arm to play there, I could probably move you across the infield.
I have three positions for you. If you're limited to just a left fielder or if you're limited to just a second baseman, what were the two positions we were trying to push Willie Calhoun into? He was a second baseman for the Dodgers, and like he will not play one day of his life at second base in the major leagues. And that's why the Dodgers were like, man, he can hit, and we think he's a major league hitter, but we don't know what to do with him. There's no DH in the National League at that time, and he's not a second baseman, and he doesn't look athletic enough to just throw in the outfield and have him start running down fly balls. So that's why he became available to a major league team in a trade. And so I look at some of our maybe areas of strength and go, how quickly do the Rangers want to turn that into something else? And then, unfortunately, it doesn't mean AJ Alexi's never going to pitch in the major leagues and never be successful. But you start looking at Glenn Otto's and AJ Alexi's and Colby Allard's and Taylor Hearn. And I'm not going to give up at all on Cole Winn. He's a first-round draft pick that's just struggling a little bit. But Spencer Howard has struggled in Philadelphia, now here with us. You have all of these guys. At what point do you say we need to, because Philly kind of got us on this one. Let's see how it plays out.
They got us.
But you do this and you go, hey, if we don't think he's going to develop into what maybe people think, move him now. Yeah. And there's still more development. And we could be wrong on this. It could end up that they develop into a really good player slash pitcher. But I'm just wondering right now, should the Rangers take, let's just say, I have no clue what you could get for this, and he's having a bad year, you'd be trading him at a low point. AJ Alexi, Justin Foscue, Bubba Thompson, or Leody Taveras, either one, and one other guy, Spencer Howard. I'm just throwing out four or five guys. If I combine those four or five guys to a team that is lacking depth in AA and AAA in their minor leagues and thinks, hey, man, those are pretty good prospects that were for the Rangers. They're just all not having very good years. Or Bubba Thompson's having a good year, but they don't see him as maybe their everyday center fielder, where we can see him being our everyday center fielder. Could we get somebody's solid starting pitcher that can help us now?
I do think that's possible because you see teams make trades like that all the time. It's the I can fix them principle, right? Yeah. That we talk about all the time. But I do need you to answer this one question that a couple people from the fan text pointed out. You don't just want to get rid of Justin Foscue because he went to Mississippi State, right? I know you had some negative things to say about the state of Mississippi.
I did not. I correctly stated a fact. You asked me what they're number one in, and in my mind, I remember seeing like a poll that they were number one in poverty, and I hit it on the head. I actually got something right. I'm not against Mississippi at all.
You just needed to clarify.
I would say this. I worry, though, when the Rangers coming up. Like, nothing against Jace Young. I don't know a lot about Jace Young. Josh Young's younger brother. He's supposedly going to be somewhere picked between, like, 5 and 15, right? But he's not going to go as high as 3. I don't want to pick, with my first round, I do not want to pick landlocked second baseman.
Okay.
Because we run into this issue. When you sign Marcus Semien or another guy develops into that position, what do I do with a landlocked second baseman who can't play short because of his arm strength or speed, can't play third base because of his arm strength type of deal? I can't put him maybe in center field. I don't know if you can or can't. I don't know everything about him. But I would say to my scouting director, right now it's Kip Fagg, I would say as a general manager, you are not allowed to ever draft a second baseman or a left fielder in the first round. In fact, I get nervous about drafting just first baseman in the first round unless it's Spencer Torkelson. I know he's having a horrible year. It better be like, without a doubt, this dude's going to pop 30-plus home runs, 100-plus RBI, score 100 runs, bat around 280, and we don't have to. He is going to be so good. He is going to be one of the 15 best first basemen in all of baseball 2 to 3 years from now.
Well, if I was Kip, I would just respond by going, what are you going to do, fire me? Yeah, I didn't think That's just my own personal opinion about the situation.
If I was running a front office.
Torkelson is having a terrible year.
Horrible. He's not going to be horrible forever. He was the first overall pick out of college, and he should end up being good. But this has been way over his head for where he's at developmental wise.
Just a quick side note to all of this. How much I'm really encouraged by this. I thought this was really cool. Did you see what Martin Perez said? I think on Sunday, he said, I want to be here 100%, then paused and said, no, make it 300%. I've been in two other places and nowhere have I felt as good as I feel here. Here now, I feel like I don't do my job on the field one day. I can still do it in the clubhouse. I can help these guys. It's not just about my career, but about this team.
That's why I want him here.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy about trading him unless somebody blows me away with an offer. I'm already struggling. We just had this whole segment on we only have three starting pitchers now for major league rotation, and we're struggling at the upper levels for our guys developing quickly. And then lastly, on NFL Network, the game where Aaron Jones goes crazy on us, which he is right now, but the Cowboys are winning 21-15. Our old Jalen Smith got a big tackle there as he kind of, you know, whiffed. And then as a safety slowed him down and rode him for about a yard or two, then Jalen Smith got half a tackle on that one. So that's awesome. He fell to the ground on that one.
So why don't you stop hating, Mike?
How is he not on an NFL team?
You want him as a basketball player.
How in the world did he get a big contract?
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan because he had a good story. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Higgy. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you.
You were waiting for that?
I was. Were absolutely. You? Hey, as we've established on the intro and the outro, I'm very much a creature of habit. So if you want to trip me up, just change any of your verbiage, and I'll be like, hold on, how come you didn't say, how am I doing? Because I was ready to fall apart. I'm also dealing with Vacation Mike over here. Mike is about to go on vacation. Corey is on vacation. Do you think I should go old style Gavin Dawson and have a show all by myself?
I think you should do it at least one day. It's pretty fun.
Ugh.
You know, you book a guest every couple of hours. You take some texts. You get some takes going. You take some phone calls.
Can I run all East Coast radio?
I think you should. Yeah, I think that's about the only way to do a solo radio show. Shoot, 15 monologues would be pretty tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the plan for now is we're going to have Bobby Bell in. What do you think? He said he wants to run the baseball segment, so I'm going to title it for him, all right? What do you think about this? Our new baseball segment, trying to get to second base with Bobby Bell. Do you think that's a good title for a baseball segment?
Yeah,
I don't think there's a problem with that.
All right. Yeah, talking about. Mike, where are you going on vacation?
The beautiful beaches of Galveston, Texas.
Oh, glorious.
As last year, we took the family to the Bahamas. Cost a lot of money. Had to get all these passports and everything.
And did you
we
say
get
they
there,
seem... Yeah.
And the next day later, our boys go, we like Galveston better.
Wow.
Like, screw you. But it's going to cost us a lot less money next year because we're going back to Galveston.
Yeah, that's terrific. Galveston's not bad, man.
No, it's good. Yeah, they like the waves better. We're like, what about the clear, calm water? Like, we actually don't like the clear, calm water. We like the more
violence.
Wavy Gulf of Mexico water.
Like the unstableness of the Gulf? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, where you can't really see what's in the water at all.
You never know.
Yeah.
What else is there to do down there besides the beach?
We usually cook. We cook ourselves. Instead of going to restaurants...
Yeah,
there's probably great restaurants in Galveston to get seafood and stuff. We like just going to the grocery store and then buying the food and then cooking it ourselves and kind of.
So you run a house or something?
Yes. Yeah. Nice. We are going to be.
Sounds like a lot of work, Mike. Really a vacation.
He likes cooking.
I do like cooking. I hope it's a vacation. I know it is a vacation, but I'm hoping it's.
You're cooking for what, 15, you said?
All the in-laws are going to be there, which I do really like my in-laws. I'm not lying about that. I do like them, but. There's no way to get my wife, her sister, her brother, their spouses, their kids, their parents, and to have a cordial, really, like there's going to be at some point, there's not going to be like fist thrown or anything, but there's no way that you're going to get 5 days together, that everything's going to be good, that kids aren't throwing fits, and then somebody's like, well, you shut up because your kid, you know, and you're just like, oh, great.
Do you have rules about these vacations, Mike? Because
that's a good question.
Because I'm one of these guys that if I go with a bunch of people, they used to call this the broadest rule.
Okay.
And I took a bunch of people when I got my Super Bowl money from Green Bay. I took a bunch of people to Cabo, a bunch of my buddies. And I told them, I said, listen, here are the rules. I go, you don't have to do a damn thing I want to do. I'm going to schedule deep sea fishing, golf, restaurants, whatever you want to do.
I like this.
You want to do it?
Great. Damn, big bonus.
Yeah, it was.
Super Bowl, man.
Super Bowl, bro. We won it.
Yeah.
Champs. But we took that and I told everybody, you don't have to do anything. I'll schedule stuff. If you want to go deep sea fishing, I'll tell you what time that is. If you want to go play golf, I'll tell you what time that is. My rule was always, it's a vacation. You're not on my schedule and I'm not on your schedule.
I love this.
Yeah.
So you just kind of put the ground rules out there. And if somebody doesn't want to go shell hunting, you know, on the beach, they don't have to go.
Yeah.
You could sit in a chair, sit in the sun, watch people go by, drink Topo Chico all you want, you know?
All right.
But you lay out the ground rules to everybody.
How'd the wives react to that?
No problem. I was single, but my buddies brought friends. And I said, listen, if you want to sit up at the swim up bar at the pool, my tab's on me. Go ahead and do it. You know? You don't have to do anything. You do what you want to do.
I'm going to tell them this tomorrow.
But see, I think it helps.
Listen, you punks.
No, I think
is that how you started off?
I think it
jabronis.
Helps. Jabronis. No, I think it helps everybody.
I think it helps
everybody realize, listen, I'm here to enjoy myself.
Yeah.
I'm not here to fix meals for you and have to deal with your kids being all, you know, in my face. Yeah. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do. You do what you want to do. Hey, dinner will be at this hour. If you want to come eat with us.
It doesn't mean I like you anymore or like you any less. It doesn't mean I love you anymore. Yeah, because I think sometimes if I disengage, they're like, well, Mike's just not. He doesn't really like being part of our family. It's like, no.
No.
I feel that way on the show sometimes.
I just like don't like doing that, so I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
So you're saying I'm always on vacation?
I just feel like if you kind of set some ground rules that like, listen, I'm here to enjoy myself.
I like this.
I'm not here to entertain you, but I'm going to set stuff up.
Yeah.
And every day, that's when it was funny. Everybody would come back for dinner, and it's like, hey, what'd you do today? Man, we played golf. That's a beautiful course you got us at over here. Hey, deep sea fishing. We got a marlin. It was fun. We got a sailfish. You know, I'm like, cool. I'm glad you enjoyed that. You know, it just makes it for an easier.
Dude, it's a great idea.
Especially if you got people that like to do early morning activities.
Absolutely,
really just want to sleep in on your vacation.
Absolutely, you do. You want to get up. Maybe you want to go have some breakfast, go to the swim up bar, whatever. I mean, you don't sit outside, read a book. You don't have to go deep sea fishing if you don't want to.
Let me ask you a question about that. On vacation in general, are you more of a relaxed person or a do-stuff person?
Much more of a relaxed person.
Okay.
Yeah, because when you go do stuff, you're often in, like, big groups on little tourist buses with people you've never met. And I'm like, I don't want to spend my vacation on these bus rides and these tours kind of like having to whisper to my friends because we're in this big group of people we don't know. You know, there is some stuff that I have done that have been cool. You know, like going out to see Pearl Harbor and stuff like that.
But
most of the time I feel like it's much more relaxing just to go to the beach, you know, wherever you are and just kind of hang out with the people you're there with.
Has this made your vacation better, do you think?
Yeah, I can't wait to lay down the law tomorrow.
I still think
it's the broadest rule. Phone a friend if you need
to. It's called broadest at like 1 o'clock when everybody gets to the house. And I'm going to be like, here's my friend broadest. Here's the rules. Broadest, you tell him.
No, but just make sure the vacation's about you. You know, yeah. I mean, it sounds selfish, but it makes it easier for everybody else because then again, you don't get the anxiety of having to take care of everybody.
So who's on the show with you tomorrow?
It's going to be Bobby for the rest of the week.
Okay, that's right.
So, yeah, so me and Bobby are going to get after it. Now, you said you get along with your in-laws.
I do, yeah.
What percentage of folks, just in general, you don't have to speak for yourself, do you think get along with their in-laws?
Sufficiently, 85%.
Really well.
Yeah.
What about really
well?
Yeah.
5%.
Wow!
Yeah. I kind of feel like there's maybe out of 10 folks, you might like 6 of them.
Okay.
And the other 4, you would just, you know, you're kind of like you avoid them at all costs.
You just gravitate towards the
other 6. Yeah, you just kind of find yourself not always getting caught in the kitchen with them or something like that.
I think I get in trouble by just doing what I want to do, and they're like, Mike doesn't enjoy our company or whatever, and that might be the case in that moment.
Yeah.
But to broaden this point, I just don't want to talk about that or be part of that, so I'm just going to go into this room and hang out by myself or watch this game.
Do you say you're going, or do you just kind of vanish?
Just go.
That's what I do, too.
Just go.
Absolutely. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking, Hagee. It is Tuesday Rangers Player Show at 3:20, and Leody Taveras is going to join you.
Woo! Do you think the Rangers now look across their roster, and they're like, here's who we need to jumpstart this week, so let's put them on G-Bag.
Yeah, he's coming in for his G-Bag blessing at 3:20. Appreciate that. We have some good Jalen Brunson conversation and why the Mavs should probably think twice about letting him go right out of the gates.
Woo! All right. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Remember, tomorrow we'll lead you straight into Rangers, so 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say Bobby Belt time.
Bobby Belt time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.